Welcome to KISS Dog Training's Discussions of Guidance. Today, one of Mike's tips is about off-leash dogs. Stay tuned.
Hi guys, it's Mike again with KISS Dog Training, and today's little dog training tip is going to be one of my biggest pet peeves, off-leash dogs. So let's talk, just common sense-wise, why would a civilized society such as the one that we all live in have leash laws? Well, in my opinion, the reason we have these leash laws is because there are certain dogs in the world that are dog selective and dog reactive. In fact, there's even been one of these dog training tips on the fallacy of, are all dogs social? And the answer is no, they're not. There's a lot of dogs out there that happen to be dog selective, people selective, and they're just, they're uncomfortable on leash. Anybody who's taken a Psych 101 course knows that if you take, if you have fear, you're gonna have basically three choices to deal with. Freeze, I hope you didn't see me. Flight, I'm going to run to get away, or fight if I can't do any of the other things. Well, I want you to stop and think about it. A dog on leash is going to feel trapped or on pressure, or under pressure. So let's say you're Joe Schmo out on the street and you think you have a dog who is a unbelievably obedience trained dog, and you've got whatever tools you're using to keep your dog under control, and you've decided that leash laws don't apply to you. So your dog's off leash. Here comes the other Joe Schmo walking his dog on leash as the law requires, because he knows his dog is reactive to a certain extent and he's trying to keep the dog safe. Only to find, as he turns the corner, here comes this off-leash dog running towards his, and the immortal words are always said, "Don't worry, my dog is friendly." Only to hear the even more immortal words come back, "But mine's not." And then you have this big rum-a-row. There's usually a dog fight. Lots of times humans get bit trying to break them up because one's on leash, one's not on leash. So it's not that I'm trying to say that maybe your dog isn't well-trained. It's not that I'm saying that even you don't have control over your off-leash dog. But what I would suggest is that maybe before you make this suggestion, well, suggestion's the wrong word, before you make the choice to allow your dog to be off-leash in an area where they're illegal, that's why we have leash laws, you think about the other people who are walking their dogs on leash for a reason, okay? And that's not to say, you could take your dog to an off-leash dog park. I know that even here in Kansas City, we have several off-leash dog bars and dog parks. There's all sorts of opportunities. In fact, you know, last night, I went to the Kansas City Royals game for Bark in the Park, and there was an off-leash dog park set up before you walked into the stadium. But guess what, folks? Once you walk into that stadium, you're on leash. And it's a legal liability. It's for the safety of all the people involved and the dogs involved. But it really does frustrate me when I see people who think that their dogs are so good that they can just be off leash without any kind of any thought for anybody else. Okay? So let's make sure that we kind of get to a point where we can agree to all disagree, or disagree to all agree, that, you know, if we're going to have our dogs out in public, they need to be on leash. I mean, you know, think of even service dogs, okay? Service dogs have to be on leash. You don't see them running around off leash, and they're the probably best trained dogs in the world. So think about others before you think about yourself. Think about the poor dog who might be leash reactive or leash fearful or wasn't socialized well enough as a puppy. We've talked about all these little, you know, things. Just don't be that person off leash, okay? Stick around. We're going to actually do two topics. We're kind of doing some double duty here. You're going to be getting me here on YouTube. You're also going to be getting me on the podcast with the 12-minute podcast. The 12-minute dog podcast. So just hang around, get a word from our sponsors, and we'll come back with another topic and another tip on dog training. Let's take a minute to meet our sponsors.
If you love the topics you've been listening to, remember, Mike has written tons of books on dog training, and all are available on Amazon.com. Just search the name Mike Deeth, DEATHE. They are available in audiobooks, ebooks, and in print. Keep It Simple, Stupid Dog Training, KISS Dog Training for short, has been helping owners understand their dogs since 2010. We specialize in complex cases such as reactivity, aggression, anxiety, and fear. We offer in-home sessions in and around the Kansas City metro and virtual consulting for those outside that area. We are the dog trainers that focus on training owners, not dogs, emphasizing rewarding what you want and redirecting destructive behaviors into good ones. You can call us at 913-269-7595 or email at info@kissdogtraining.com for more information and help. Mike's second discussion today focuses on wireless fences and everything you need to know about them. Hang around for more.
Hi guys, it's Mike. I'm back. Our second topic on this particular round of the podcast and the YouTube channel is going to be wireless fences. Anybody who knows me well enough knows I'm definitely a positive reinforcement guy. My background is a degree in psychology. Many, many years ago, University of Kansas, Rock Chalk Jayhawk. My emphasis in psychology was cognitive and neuropsych. So my thoughts on most dog training stuff always falls to the positive reinforcement. We need to reward the behaviors we want and redirect or create alternative behaviors to the behaviors we don't want. So that brings us kind of, let's say, to the conversation of punishments and consequences. Well, in any psychology book, the definition of punishment will be anything that decreases the frequency of a behavior. So we can come up with all sorts of different ways to have a punishment, okay? I do kind of believe in the idea that you can't have any kind of training without consequence and punishment. I just think that consequence and punishment should not come from a place of frustration or anger, okay? I think that most people, when they get frustrated and angry, kind of go dark side in their training methods, and it's kind of like with a kid. It's easy to get frustrated, but it's also easy to do something you regret. So, you know, it's always reward what you want, redirect what you don't, okay? It doesn't mean you can't use consequence and punishment, but it should always be from the angle of I'm teaching you this gets a cookie, that doesn't get a cookie, okay? Now, let's talk wireless fences. Ideally, wireless fences are nothing more than a shock collar with a wireless beam or a wire underneath the ground that teaches the dog that if you step in this spot, you're going to get shocked, so don't go across that line. In almost all situations, I'm going to tell clients, hey, look, just put up a fence. And if you can't afford a fence, then you need to look at doggy daycare. You need to look at the idea that maybe you shouldn't have a dog right here at this exact moment in time. I have had clients, though, who have homeowners associations that won't allow fences, period, end of question. So, like, the only option they have is a wireless fence, and they'll call me and they'll say, what do I do? And I'll be honest, I've helped them set up the wireless fence. I've found people who teach it as humanely as possible, and I'll want to make sure that I'm a part of the process to make sure that we can make it as humane a process as possible for that particular dog. So now let's talk about all the things people need to know about a wireless fence before we go any further. Number one, you're trapping a dog inside an invisible fence. Okay? So a couple of things. Number one, if you have a small dog and you have wildlife around you, coyotes, bobcat, fox, your dog can't get away from them. And the wild animals can come in and go after your dog. That would be one issue that I have with wireless fences. The second is if there are kids in the neighborhood and the kids don't understand that there's a wireless fence, a kid may walk into your backyard seeing a dog and they may decide they want to pet that dog and they keep moving the dog further and further up to the beam or the dog knows I'm going to get zapped, excuse me, and that dog may lunge out or react to that child with a bite, snap, whatever, but a bite would be the worst case scenario. We also have the scenario where the wireless fence company or you as the person who's putting it in might actually go, hey, this is going to be really convenient. Let's put it in the front yard. And in almost every situation where a dog's in the front yard on a wireless fence, they end up being reactive to the front yard and guard people. It's the age-old mailman scenario, which is, I'm going to bark at the front door because the mailman's there and the mailman left, so see what I did. We're all smart enough to know the mailman just went next door to deliver the mail. The dog thinks because I barked, the mailman left. Well, think about it with a wireless fence. The dog runs up to the sidewalk of your front yard, woof, 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 and scares the person off. Well, that person was a walker or a jogger or a mailman or a mailwoman or a delivery person or whatever. Over a period of time, this dog becomes more and more territorial and more resource-guardy about that piece of territory, that piece of property. And you can take a really friendly, outgoing dog and make them pretty scary to approach the property. So I really think putting it in the front yard would be kind of a disservice to the dog in the neighborhood as well. What I usually try to tell my clients is, if your goal is to stand in your bathrobe at your front door drinking your cup of coffee while your dog goes and pees and poops and then call him right back in the house, that's a functional use of a wireless fence. Same with the backyard. Anytime you plan on leaving a dog unattended in the backyard, one of three things usually happens. They become a nuisance barker and your neighbors are mad at you. They become escape artists and the animal control is getting tired of you. Or number three, they become, wait a minute, I've lost track. We have the dog who barks too much. Destructive. We have a dog that becomes destructive in the backyard. They chew up your Traeger grill. They chew up your patio furniture. They dig holes all over your backyard. You know, we think that dogs want to be outside by themselves so that they can enjoy the wonderful weather. Well, really, guys and gals, dogs are social animals. They would rather be with us. The backyard is a place to go out, run with you watching them because they want you there. Might want to sunbathe for a little bit, but they're going to get bored after 5 or 10 minutes and went back in the house. Where do you think all these memes come from that say, hey, let me in the house so that I can ring the bell to let you let me back out? So the wireless fence, again, is one of those things that I would not recommend for somebody who wants to leave their dog outside. In fact, I would even challenge you to call the municipality that you live in. You may find that it's illegal to have a dog outside in the front or backyard without a structural fence. Okay. I'm not going to throw rocks at glass houses. I am definitely a positive reinforcement trainer. I am definitely anti-shock collar. I don't buy into the idea. But to each their own, every person out there is going to have to make their own decisions. But if you're really looking at the idea of a wireless fence with a shock collar because of the ease, I would challenge you just to do a little bit more research. And some of the things that we talked about today will be things that could possibly go wrong. So again, this is Mike with Kiss Dog Training. You'll probably hear this on the 12-minute podcast as well. We're kind of tinkering with the idea of rebranding that podcast, but you might see us on YouTube. You might hear us in the front seat of your car. But again, Mike at kissdogtraining.com, and come back next time, and please support our sponsors. Have a great day.